This episode is brought to you by RLD Group, on a mission to reboot Leadership Drive, eradicate burnout in tech, and help transform technical experts lacking people leadership skills from being a company's biggest liability into their greatest asset. On this episode of Control-Alt-Delete with Lisa Durie.
When you pause, it interrupts that flow of stress hormones. And then when you breathe deeply, that's a further interruption because the deep breathing actually stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, which activates a different set of hormones like oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, which calm you down, make you feel better. They literally open up your thinking capacity to a much larger extent.
Leaders in tech are burning out at an absurd rate. Control-Alt-Delete with Lisa Durie is a no-BS conversation with a female executive who spent over 25 years in Silicon Valley. If you're suffering from the always-on, never-good-enough, we'll replace you today machine called the tech space. This show will help you reboot your leadership drive. Here's Lisa.
The question for the day, honestly, probably the question for your week is, are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling disconnected from your colleagues and your family? Are you just running so fast that you're not even stopping to pause? Are the conversations you're having turning into disagreement and disconnection? Are you telling yourself stories and you can't even catch yourself in the middle of it because you're just so busy thinking everything that you think is as it is? Well, I think everyone knows by now that I'm a huge fan of the book Conversations Worth Having. If you can't tell by all of my marks on here. Our clients receive this book. I reference it all the time in conversation. And I'm so happy today. I had to calm myself down before I started recording today because the authors of Conversations Worth Having are with me today. Jackie Stavros and Sherry Torres, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
We are so excited to be here as well.
So if you're listening in and you answered yes to any of those questions, you want to, excuse me, I'm so moved. You want to listen in today. The reason I'm saying that is they have actually built you a playbook to go from stuck to unstuck, disconnected to connected, you know, separate to connected and whole. And we've had a prep call. We've actually talked about this a little bit. And I really didn't want to script what we were going to talk about today because we really wanted it to be natural for what's happening in the world. And I know in the world right now, people are burnt out. They're scared. They're overwhelmed. They feel like it's never going to get better. Like there's a lot of that happening in our client base and in the news. And I just can't think of two better people here to help us reframe and think about that on a much more deeper level so that we can actually be agents of change and connection. Jackie and Sherry, I just want to give the formal introduction, right, of who you are. And then let's jump right in and give, really, you're going to get tangible, practical things you can do right now, everybody. You don't have to wait and go read the book. You're going to want the book, obviously, but we're going to give you things that you can do right now and that the book can then reinforce for you. So let me tell you about Jackie Stavros and Sherry Torres. They've been internationally recognized for their work with Appreciative Inquiry. They've positively affected the lives of thousands of people and helped hundreds of organizations improve their capacity to thrive in uncertain times. They've been researching, writing, consulting, and speaking on Appreciative Inquiry since 1996. So I think that leads to my first question for everyone. You know, what is appreciative inquiry and why is that important for conversations worth having?
So, you know, when you hear appreciative inquiry, I like to tell people it's our human side of AI. It's not artificial intelligence. It's the human side. And appreciative inquiry is discovering the best in whatever the situation is, the topic, and it's looking at the best of what was, what is, and what's possible. Sherry, do you want to add to that?
I think it's also about in your conversations, especially at work, being outcomes focused and inquiry based. It's how do we ask questions that help us move towards what we want more of?
I'm so grateful for what you both just said because you gave two sides to the same question. And for the leaders in tech, who are running, you know, back-to-back meetings, the pressure of always on, never good enough. I mean, there's a couple of stories in the book about the stress and what happens when you get stuck in your fight, flight, freeze brain, right? And when you think about the stories that you tell yourself and really believing that to be true, and then making choices on reorgs and thinking about how they're going to run their businesses. And I think about these leaders in tech right now, and I know they don't want to hear it one more time, like, oh yeah, just take three deep breaths. They probably want to bonk me on the head. but I do know that taking three deep breaths, it allows you to access parts of you. And I think what your book did for me and why we reckon, why we give it to everybody, is this is like three deep breaths, you know? And so I think what I'd really love to ask you about, so using appreciative inquiry to fuel meaningful engagement, when you're stuck in that always on, never good enough, back to back, and you're not pausing, what's something that you both do to get unstuck? And how might that inform our conversation today to just let everybody lean into that? That can be the first step right now when they're just stuck and so wound so tight. What do you both do to get unstuck?
One of the things I do, and this is going to feed right into what you just said, is to pause and breathe. Mm-hmm. We add and then get curious. Mm-hmm. So just to give you a little bit of science behind why the pause, breathe, and get curious really is effective. When you pause, it interrupts that flow of whether it's internal chatter or external chatter. And that chatter is actually either releasing stress hormones. You know, if you're really stressed out and, you know, firing too fast, you've got a lot of stress hormones going on, which impacts everything in your body, as well as your capacity to think clearly. When you pause, it interrupts that flow of stress hormones. And then when you breathe deeply, that's a further interruption, because the deep breathing actually stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, which activates a different set of hormones like oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, which calm you down, make you feel better, and they literally open up your thinking capacity to a much larger extent. And then when you get curious, curiosity is a positive emotion. It throws you into the prefrontal lobe, the executive functions. And what I like to do is get curious about where am I, and what's driving this sense of urgency or burnout or annoyance or frustration, whatever the feeling is. Where's that coming from and why? You know, have I had enough to drink? Did I skip lunch? Am I getting enough sleep? Are my expectations not being met? What is going on for me? And then to get curious about others. Oh.
Jackie, if I may, I want to just land with Sherry real quick, because I know you want to add something.
The thing, please.
That you said that really, when we think about getting curious, one of the things I really loved about reading your book is I really just started looking at things like how might I, or how, or what is possible? Like the simplest curiosity to just open that up has really been a game changer for me and my clients when they get stuck. And I think that I want to just land that as something practical with what you were saying, because I think people know about the breathing and people know about the pausing and they don't, but the curiosity that you show us how, and you both, you know, highlight in here, I really do believe is a game changer. And I want to just, that's why I wanted to double click on that. Cause getting curious is like, how many times am I giving away my power? Or thinking that these rules apply to me. And I don't mean like break the rules, but who says you have to have a 60-minute meeting? What if you had a 45-minute meeting? You know, like the simplest things. So I appreciate that so much. And Jackie, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I echo everything Sherry said. I think it's really important when we mentioned the pause, tune in, and get curious, how healthy curiosity is for you. And the actions you have to go through, sometimes you have to mentally step back or physically step back from your computer, step back from that meeting, step back from that office, and just go for a walk outside, go for a walk in nature. And then ask yourself, who could I ask for help? Because I'm stuck. You mentioned stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Or something I said to a young man who came into my office who was stuck yesterday. I said to this young man, I said, you can't do everything, but you can do anything. And I said, so you can do anything, but just not everything. And he's like, that makes a lot of sense. So I said, let's just prioritize the anythings that you wish to do and maybe the anything you need to do. And you have to let go of all the rest.
Oh my gosh. The anythings you wish to do and the anythings you have to do. Is that what you said? The anythings you wish to do.
So I try to tell students, you can do anything, but not everything.
Anything, but not everything. Oh my gosh. So total side note, we watched Frozen 2 last night. So once a week we have family movie night. And last night we picked Frozen 2 and they were talking about all of the uncertainty and unknown. If for those of you who watched Frozen 2, I hope it's not a spoiler alert. It's old movie now, right? But it was like into the unknown and I don't know what to do. And I'm so overwhelmed. And then one of the characters said, well, what's your right next step? What's just the next step? So getting unstuck, I think sometimes even Disney can tell you in Frozen 2, it's the next right step. And I think you get to that when you can pause, notice, breathe, be curious. And I just love that you're lending that this different perspective so well, especially when I think about, you know, we joked about AI beating, you know, appreciative inquiry, but also artificial intelligence. And we were thinking about the operating system. And I just invite anyone listening, everyone listening, to just really think about, you know, are you taking care of your operating system? Because when you're stuck, it's probably because you're not. Sometimes you need to control, alt, delete. Yeah. Right? Hence, that's why we're here today, rebooting. I really appreciate this perspective so much. So I would love to talk about burnout. I think burnout is something that even this morning I was in a Facebook group and it was an HR Facebook group and they were all, the question was, are you burnt out? Because I am, right? And I mean, it was like 50 people in 4 minutes were like, oh my gosh, yes, COVID and everything going on. And we're just so tired and people don't see how much we're doing behind the scenes. And I think you could take that label off and add any label in a job function. And I'm curious, have you ever in your own lives experienced burnout? And did you use your own methods to help you navigate it?
You know, I don't know if I've ever been burnt out, but I know I've been overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I know overwhelm comes at me several times a year. And if I'm having a rough day, several times in a day, I can be overwhelmed. And I try to go back to what are my core values, what's really important to me. And that is what the lesson that gets me out of that overwhelmed state. So when you know your core values, it's easier to make choices of what am I going to do next? Mm. And understanding, you know, like your mission and your purpose, because again, you can't do everything. And because you're doing everything, it's typically why I know I get overwhelmed when I'm trying to do too much.
Mm, I really appreciate that. I appreciate that on a personal level. And I think for everyone listening, if you've got overwhelm, and I love that you differentiated that from burnout, because I think sometimes people just lump it. So I appreciate that, Jackie. Sherry, how about you? What's your experience and thoughts on burnout?
When I have gotten burned out in the past, it's because I've been focusing on deficits, on problems, and those can be energy draining. Working with people that are negative, you know, the cynic or the person who's bitter and everything's wrong, nothing's ever right. Mm-hmm. And also if I'm working really hard with good intent and I'm not getting anywhere, or my voice doesn't matter. I feel like, you know, if you feel like you're in this space of no matter what you do, you're not able to add value. You're not able to make a difference. That burns me out. And I think it burns lots of people out. Mm-hmm. And to shift from that, and this is, I've tended my whole life to kind of, even before I knew about appreciative inquiry, I had that outlook on life. But appreciative inquiry has given me the kind of the language and the understanding for why it shifts people from burnout to engagement and energy. Mm-hmm. If you shift the focus to what is working, or not to ignore problems, but say, okay, this is a problem, we need to do something about it. what's the desired outcome we're after? If we didn't have this problem, what would be here? What, you know, what is it that we want? And then to be asking generative questions. And especially if you can ask the negative people questions that help to shift their focus or shift their thinking, you can palpably feel the energy in a meeting just all of a sudden increase. And when you start to ask questions that help you figure out where we want to go, what we want to do, how can we track success? And when everybody's voices matter, and there's space for people to make meaningful contribution, then burnout doesn't happen. And so the two practices from our book have really made a huge difference for me in knowing, okay, if I'm focused, especially if I'm focused on what's wrong in the world, I'd like stop. You know, what are people doing to create positivity in the world? And what are people doing to create change? And what am I doing? Completely changes my sense of burnout.
I think I have a new title for your book based on what you both just said, you know, the Burnout Prevention Guide. Like, seriously, because I have my own burnout experience. And I was, you know, a 3-month medical leave, emergency room visits, the doctor telling me, you have Silicon Valley-itis. He's like, that's what my code word for burnout. Like, this is the number one reason I see people in my office. And I'm in there crying, like, what's wrong with me? I can't function. I can't seem to find a gift in the world. I'm a very positive person. I couldn't find it. The cynicism I had. And it was just like, oh, and the health. There was so many problems I was dealing with. And the way I got out of burnout was I started asking myself a question I asked you both before we got on, before we went live. How do you want to feel? And I think it goes back, Jackie, to the values you talked about, because when I started getting clear on how I wanted to feel, it led me to my values. You know, I want to feel connected. I want to feel energized, right? And then I was like, well, how am I getting that right now? What am I doing to foster that? And that was my curiosity. And then I started, I did start reading a lot in here. And I think the reason I get so excited about your Conversations Worth Having framework and what you're sharing with everybody is, Sherry, you said it, it actually can get you out of burnout. Mm-hmm. Because it's you're shifting and you're being generative in the way that you're looking at the world and asking the questions that actually will get you there. One of the biggest ahas I had in your book and in just following the work that you both do is, you know, in tech, you're kind of wired and rewarded for fixing problems. Mm-hmm. Fixing problems. There's a bug, go fix it, right? You're going to miss the tape out, put more people on it. You're going to miss your stock strike price, figure it out, like fix the problem. There's not a lot of conversation about what does excellence look like? What does it feel like? How might we? And whenever I talk about this within our client base, everyone just kind of, what? Like, what? Don't focus on fixing the problem. What? So I'd love to just invite you in to educate, enlighten, and actually tie it together. Because imagine a world where, this is one thing I've learned too, imagine, right? Imagine a world where instead of feeling burnt out, you feel lit up. And instead of feeling stuck, you feel empowered.
Nice.
Because everything you're all talking about, I believe the playbook is here. So I'd just love to get your thoughts on going from problem fixing to actually excellence. And please help me explain this better, because I get it in my soul, but I don't teach it.
So Lisa, you said something 2 questions back about choices.
Okay.
So I want you, as you're listening to this, you have a choice. Now, if it's a mechanical issue, a technical bug, problem solving is good. Problem solving gets into root cause analysis. We're dealing with something very mechanistic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a problem involving people and a situation and excellence and getting along, this is appreciative inquiry. This is where this comes in, where we begin to define what is the real problem. The three of us decide, what do we really want to have a conversation about? What do we really want to imagine? What do we want to design? And how are we going to go about it? So you want to ask yourself, do I need to fix a technical problem mechanistic, or is it really about the way we operate in the being? And that's where appreciative inquiry, the conversations come into.
I really appreciate that, Jackie. Yeah, right. So if it's a technical problem, go fix the technical problem. But if we're talking about people and teams and productivity and engagement, it's a different lens.
And you can shift back and forth, because if we solve the technical problem, now we have time to like really pause, breathe, and get curious. How can this technology be better? Or what else might we innovate? Mm-hmm. And then you move into that appreciative space after you might have fixed a mechanistic technical problem.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I really appreciate the delineation so that we can see that, because in tech, that's what you're rewarded for, is your technical brilliance, your technical skills. This side of people leadership, people engagement, inspiring and, you know, leading teams is not something that, you know, really gets reinforced, because society is saying, oh my gosh, you're a PhD in electrical engineering, you're the most brilliant person, you know, help us save the planet with solar. I mean, this is like the pressure they feel. So they're not going to be like, well, how do I engage people and move them along? It's going to be like, let's solve the problem. But the thing that really landed for me when I was reading this is like, that's solving for neutral, mm-hmm. right? Problem solving is just getting you back to where you were.
Yeah, you
fix the problem. Right. Yeah. Sherry, I would love to invite your voice in on this. What are your thoughts? I'm watching you smile.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I totally agree with what Jackie just said. And the only thing that I would add to it is be cautious of making a hard line between the mechanical, technical, and the people side, because if there's a bug and you can fix the bug and your client is going to be happy, by all means, fix the bug. But if you're starting in on a new project, before starting in to solve a problem, if there might be value in pausing and stepping back first to invite in possibility, mm-hmm. to do that first. For instance, with project management, when you add appreciative inquiry into project management, the project you end up managing and how you go about doing that can be wildly different, far more efficient, more cost-effective, if you step back first and invite the team that's going to work on it into designing the project, instead of, here's the project, here's how it's designed, let's get started.
Mm. It's so funny. I think when I listen to myself, I hear my mms, right? It's just like my tell. Oh, that's deep. Like I'm trying to process it real time with you. Because there's so many times when, and I work with all levels of leaders across tech, and we do strengths, Clifton strengths assessments, right? That's one of our things. And we also do Colby A. And I can't tell you how much of the strengths are in execution. It's like off the charts for these leadership teams. And so because I'm like, the execution's strong. Let's get into action, activator, get it done, go, go, go. Telling them, let's just pause and imagine. They're probably gonna be like, what? No, I like, you know, it's rewarding when I do. And so I'm wondering in the book, if there's a page we want to, like, I know that we have the above the line, below the line, right? I'm just gonna go here for a second. If you're watching the video, I'm on page 33. Right, where we talk about I'm inviting myself into your book now, where you talk about
appreciative
and depreciative. Is this the place to start for those project teams that want to go straight into execution? Like, would this cause them to pause? Or is there another page in the book that we might reinforce for them to have them recognize the value and importance of not getting straight into action?
I don't know what page is that in the new book.
Okay, I'll find it.
But we have a chapter where we talk about the principles, and we talk about the anticipatory principle. And there's a story of Ravi, and he's on a project, and he wanted to tell his team what was going on. He wanted to share his idea. He had to go to management. And when people started to give him ideas and things, he's like, whoa, I got to go to the meeting tomorrow. He really wanted them to just say, this looks great, Ravi. Have a great meeting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we actually talk about this in the book. What if he had stepped back at the onset of the project and invited his team into the conversation and got their thinking versus near the tail end of the project.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. So we'll make a note for that in the show notes for sure, because this is regular life in tech. One of the things we deliver regularly to our clients are influence and communication programs, right? And we always talk about getting all the roadblockers on board, pre-selling, getting everybody's ideas in. And you just made a connection for me. I never realized that that is part of what you're talking about, right? Appreciation and generative questions, allowing everybody's voice, you know, that also lends to the buzzword of the year for psychological safety on teams,
yeah.
Right? And so when the voices can be heard, and in your instance, Ravi, investing that time, what an easier sell it would be, because everyone has a chance to speak up and inform and presence what matters. You know, and I wonder too, in your example, how long, because I know people are like, I don't have time for this, right? What's the, I don't know, what do you tell people, your students, your clients, on how much time it takes to actually step back and do that first? Because I know there's a time savings, but the cost, you know, the trade-off analysis is constantly running in their operating system of, but I'm an executive, we gotta go. So is it months, weeks, days, hours? Like, I'm sure it depends, but what's the invitation for them to consider, you know, the value of it and how much time it takes?
I would suggest anywhere from 5 minutes up to a couple of days, depending upon the level of complexity of the project, how many people you need to engage in doing so. And I would just say, start with something small. And ask some generative questions from your team, or even just one or two other people. Or there's something we introduced that's called feed forward. And that's showing a colleague something that you've kind of got a sketch or a draft of and say, here, what do you like about it? And what suggestions do you have? Try that two or three times. And if what you discover is you get insight and information that's of value from your colleagues, then just imagine if you were to do that on larger projects. It would be worth an hour. It might be worth 15 minutes.
You just said something that everybody can do right now. So I want to land that. What do you like about it? And what suggestions do you have? Am I getting your language right?
Yes. What do you like?
Oh my gosh.
What resonates for you?
You can do that right. Everybody can do that right now. Because that's not a whole PowerPoint presentation and 17 things I got to memorize. What do you like about it? And what advice or suggestions do you have? And by the way, one thing I know for sure, the lens that is in tech so often is feedback versus advice. So someone will bring a deck in and go, okay, what feedback do you have? Well, that means rip it apart in tech land.
Right.
Feedback means find the flaws, right? But what did you like about it? Oh my gosh, you have to like turn that whole thing off, almost code switch for a moment, go, wait a minute. Wait, what? Did you ask me what I liked? I've never asked that question. I'm always asked, what's wrong with this? And how do we prevent problems? So what did you like about this? And then what advice do you have? I can feel that actually in my body when you were talking. It changed my energy on, instead of looking for typos and problems, I'm going to go look for, you know, concepts and ideas that really have merit. And then maybe some suggestions on, well, this slide seems busy, so why don't you break it into two?
Yep.
It's way different.
Yes.
And how many leaders do we have that don't even have that lens? When you bring, I have lived this. You bring it into the senior vice president and they just redline everything and send you back. Wait a minute. What if you even took the initiative with that leader and said, hey, I'm here today and here's the two questions I have for you. Like, start there. Mm-hmm. What do you like about this? And what suggestions do you have? That can change everything.
Yeah. You're still getting feedback, but you're getting, you're getting richer feedback and you're getting in a way that actually feels good.
Oh,
and the feed forward, it's a challenge to do if you're not used to doing it, but the feed forward really addresses what they don't like by telling them what's possible, what they would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I tell you everything I don't like, you're stuck again. All I know is everything Jackie doesn't like, and I don't know how to move forward.
Yes.
And that's in the growth mindset and the feedback. If you start with a few things that you do like, what resonates, that puts them in that connect mode to open up to hear the feed forward versus shutting down and say, now I know everything I've done wrong, what you don't like, but I don't know how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you just gave everybody a Jedi mind trick. Seriously. It's like, yeah. What do you like?
Yeah. I love that.
What is possible? Right? Like I'm so excited. Yeah, because I can feel it, right? So this is the thing. Like when I read your book, my poor husband, what are you doing? I'm reading the book again. Yeah, that can you believe chapter blah blah blah? Right? He's just like, right? And I overwhelm him. And he's your typical. He's not typical at all, but he is the classic introvert who manages his energy and has really good boundaries about that. And I'm like, So I also know with my clients, I have to manage myself too. Like, okay, don't get too hyper, Lisa. I want to circle back on above the line and below the line, if I might, to close the loop, right? So I brought up that picture, and Jackie, I love the Ravi story, and I can't wait to find it in here.
I found it. It's on page 106 to 108 in the new book.
See how you're so fast. I love it. 106. Okay. It's not marked. I got a new page to mark. Okay.
Yeah. Three new pages to read tonight.
I know, right? Okay. I'm folding it. Okay. I think one of the, I actually believe this ties with what we were talking just about what do you like or appreciate? And I love using that word so much. What do you appreciate? I flipping love this word. But when you're the leader, and it's like, oh, it's layoff time again. I know the budgets are going to be, and I'm going to have to cut all these people, and how are we going to do it all? And they just like go there. I've been starting to talk to them about like, where are you? And what I've been saying is, what are the stories you're telling yourself, or what do you believe to be true? And then trying to unpack that a bit. But I know you actually have a really great framework in here. And I think that could be such a value add in the land of burnout, in the land of always on, in just what we're talking about today. So could we go there for a minute? What can you shed some light on helping people locate where they are?
If you imagine a horizontal line, and below that line is where most of us operate a lot during the day. We're on go, 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 where it's stressful. It may be the a mindset of, everything is up to me. I have to do it. I have to get it right. No, that's wrong. Lots of judgment, assessment, blame. It's that, you are below the line. Think of that maybe even as an energetic, when your energy is low, or you're feeling pulled in to yourself. That's below the line. And when you're above the line, you think much more in terms of we, in terms of play. You're more open, curious. You hold your beliefs more lightly. So you're, that's your perspective. I may change mine, as opposed to holding on and having a fixed mindset below the line. For your listener, you can look up on YouTube, there's a very short 3-minute video called Locating Yourself. It's by the Conscious Leadership Group. It's a great little video that illustrates that. And you can map conversations worth having over the top of that. When you are below the line, you're in a depreciative state, and your conversations are going to be depreciative. They're going to drag you and other people down. And when you're above the line, you are more curious. So you ask generative questions, and you are more appreciative of other people and the situations, and you're looking to add value. Mm-hmm. So the idea would be to spend at least 80% of your time above the line. And if you find yourself below the line, it's just, no judgment. We all go there. It's our, we're programmed to go there, right? To survive. It's just that most threats these days are threats to our ego instead of our physical body. But that's just an opportunity. As soon as you realize, I'm below the line, pause, breathe, get curious. What do I need here?
Is there a question to ask yourself to know that? Like for me, when you said something about adding value versus in my mind, it's like adding value or making myself right. But I don't know if that's the right question. That's the question that I came up with for myself. But is there a question that people could jot down right now that might help them assess that?
I'm going to add. So Sherry talked about that line. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't even know a question. You know in your mind that you're below the line. Your head hurts. You know in your back that you're below the line. Your back hurts. Mm-hmm. Or you know in your heart that someone said something and that those words are pushing you below the line.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel in your mind, your heart, your head, your back that you are falling below the line, you ask yourself, where am I? I am below the line. And then you talk about as Sherry said, just the pausing and breathing resets all the chemistry in your body. And it's already pushing you above that line before you try to, as you're getting curious, because you've done those two steps, you're coming up to that line now.
Oh my gosh. I just had a visual of what you said. Like if I'm underwater below the line, let's say water below the line, I'm going to hold my breath and kick and get up as quick as I can.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to exhale and then things are possible again. But when I'm below the line, I'm laser focused on one thing. I'm above the line. I can see what's possible. I don't know if that's
great.
That's just visual. What showed up for me.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
And yeah. I think also the question you asked about what can I ask myself? I think, you know, you can ask yourself, either what's going on for me, you know, and then be looking for things like, first look for some things that are easily fixable. Am I dehydrated? Did I skip mm-hmm. lunch? You know, things that it makes it easy for you to not blame yourself. It's like, oh, I need water. But then you can also ask, you know, what do I need right now? If I'm feeling really hurt, do I need to, you know, do I need to just say time out to the person I'm talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be vulnerable enough to be honest and open with what just happened for me? And I promise that when you are vulnerable, whoever you are speaking with, probably 90 to 95% of the time, they will be vulnerable right back. Because when you take that first step to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. it creates a sense of safety. If you can do that, then maybe it's okay for me to come back and, that's not what I meant. And now you're in a different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. My therapist, we have a really cool phrase I learned from my therapist, connection before correction.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I'm taking that. Like connection to self.
Yes.
Before correcting myself. Like, am I dehydrated? Right. For teams too, for the world. And even, you know, tension with your kids or your spouse or your family, thinking about, you know, what matters most right now? Am I below the line? You know, how might I get above the line? I'm just thinking like simple things of reflection. And I love so much what you said, Jackie, about it being in your body, because I do know that to be true for myself. I can feel it my shoulders usually. It feels like everything's heavy. I'm like, and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm tense. Oh, look at that. You know, but I've definitely done my work for decades with, you know, somatic therapy, talk therapy. I've done all kinds of things to better understand this machine and the soul inside. And it's not lost on me that this conversation has so many components to it, so that wherever you are in your own journey of self-awareness and self-development, you can do something right now. So whether you feel it in your body, somebody's like, what's up with you? Right. Or people are like, you'll know.
I just thought of another question that I think is a really helpful one. What am I making up? You know, we're built to create story, and we often fill in the blanks around facts. And so just asking yourself, what else might explain what just happened other than what I just made up?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in my old days of HR, it was like the reasonable person standard. When would a reasonable person behave this way? Right. And I get like this because this is my legal days. I also know Brené Brown has that a beautiful quote. She talks about the story I'm telling myself is.
Right.
And you fill that in. So I think it's where you're going, Sheree, is what stories am I telling myself? And I also, I really, really, truly think about as leaders, wanting an engaged workforce, wanting true excellence, even though you're wired and looking at getting to neutral many times and problem solving on the technical side. Imagine your team when you could all start your meetings with just a quick check-in and a body scan. How am I showing up? What energy am I bringing to this meeting? Right? Which is the story and everything else that goes with it. This is so cool. So I want to present something that this is the second and revised edition, which is, I think, why Jackie and I were giggling about what page is it on, because this is the new one.
Yeah.
And I think for those folks that maybe have the first edition and don't know there's a second edition, I would love to have you presence what's new and what's here, so that, because I don't want people to be like, oh, I already have that book. I'm like, oh, you don't know what's in the second edition. So what changed and why do we have a new edition here?
I would say more than I thought changed, more than I think we planned, in the sense that I know our preface is really revised because our why became clear in what we're doing. When we added a whole entire chapter on tune in, which is everything we've been talking about in this interview, this podcast, this conversation, that's all brand new. And the power of our questions, we really went to the two practices chapters, and we literally put questions first and then positive framing, realizing that if our editor said you could only have one practice, we'd boil it down to questions, because questions can create a positive frame. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which one you start with, but the power, it's called appreciative inquiry, the power of your questions. And then we updated the science chapter, and we put in the back these questions to ask yourself and questions to ask others. So more than just a chapter three, a new chapter three came into the second edition. Sheree, what am I missing, or anything else, Jen?
Just to acknowledge that the reason all of that emerged is that we learned a ton from offering trainings and offering, we do these Monday 30-minute Kickstarter programs for anybody to come in and, you know, ask the question, how do I reframe this? And then everybody on the call gets to practice asking generative questions and positive framing. And we have just, our own learning and knowledge has been deepened so much by all the people that we've been working with, that it required a new book.
I'm so glad that that happened. I'll tell you, because on page 165, generative questions for self and teams, right? As a coach, as a speaker, right? As a business owner, as a mom, as a spouse, right? Are you kidding me? Right? Journaling, conversations with yourself. Your first question here, what words and behaviors foster connection for you? Imagine every new hire. This is a question you ask in onboarding. Then you can language and frame everything you need for this person to feel connected. Because when you're new, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I think about even schools, and my daughter's 10, she's in fourth grade. We've had conversations with the teachers about fostering connection, right? Because of all of the pandemic kind of hangover and social development of our young future, they don't feel connected. So I'm just thinking, why wouldn't the teachers have this question? And they can like have the kids do an art project. Like, it's just, it's mind blowing how beautiful this is, right? And then the next one, make a list of things that automatically trigger you. Well, I do that in every session with every client we have, because if we don't know what triggers you, we're not going to know what to look out for. And then we're going to plan for it. So I highly recommend, I think this whole section here is new, right?
It's all new. Yes.
Yeah. This is why run, don't walk. You want to go get the second edition. Okay. And I mean, there's so much more in here than that, but I really just want to presence my gratitude for that. Just as someone who's in this business, who does this work, you've made it. Here's what I love about this, right? And here's the, what was the other one? What's the, suggestions I have?
Suggestions to make it even better.
Man, I would love a card deck. If you guys can make a card deck.
We are
working on that.
We have
Are you really?
We have a prototype coming in the mail today.
Seriously? Okay. Yes. You heard it first, people. There's a card deck coming. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. Because I could see this. I can see these at any, if you're doing your book club or you're doing, you know, back to school night or heck, mom's night out. That's what we all want is connection. We're craving it. I'm so happy to hear that. Okay. Well, then let me say a couple of things. This has been a beautiful organic conversation where we've given the listener, our listeners, questions they can ask themselves, things they can feel in their body, ways they can approach getting all the voices into the conversation, how to be more influential, how to go from stuck to unstuck, how to assess where you are and take care of yourself. I mean, we did a lot. And I mean, there's so much more, I think, for people to unpack. I would love to ask you this, the question I ask everyone, and it has to do with music, because I know that music is a gift to our soul and our experience, and it is a chance to pause, right? A song can help us do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious for both of you. I'd love to put your songs into our playlist. You know, what's the song that you go to either make you happy or reflect, right? Maybe you're below the line and you want to get above the line. You want to connect versus be separate. What's your go-to song?
Jackie, you go first.
You know, I was going to let you go first because I had two songs in case you said my first song.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
That's okay. What I'm more curious.
So I am putting a link to this in chat for you.
Oh, but thank you.
It is Shake It Up from Sing.
Ah,
and I actually,
the Sing version. Yeah.
I actually put on the video when I really want to like boost my energy and it's just such a joyful, uplifting version of Shake It Up.
Oh, Sherry, I love it. And you know what? Don't we need to shake it up?
Yes, right.
And
isn't
physical movement, like pattern disruption and everything that goes with it.
Yep.
I love that. And I love that it's the Sing version because, you know, the 10-year-old in the house, her and I, we've got it memorized. So I'm in. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Okay, Jackie, did she steal yours or do you?
No, but I kept thinking, doesn't Taylor Swift have a song, Shake It Up?
Yep.
Too. That's what I was thinking. Actually, I thought she was going to say, but good thing I didn't make a bet, A Million Dreams.
Oh, I love that song too.
The Greatest Showman. I mean, just listen to the words and you start to realize you can do anything. You can design anything. Mm-hmm. But you asked for a reflect song. So my backup, in case Sherry mentioned my song, was I grew up on country music. And my son Adam introduced me to the Humble and Kind by Tim McGraw.
Great song.
It just really touched my heart when I said the words, being humble and kind. And there's a great video that goes with it too, I think, that Oprah Winfrey helped produced.
Yeah. Yeah, it's excellent. I highly recommend the video.
Okay, I'm taking all three.
Okay.
A Million Dreams, Humble and Kind. I mean, if that doesn't represent what we've just all discussed today, this is the power, I think, in the song, right? These songwriters and these artists who can encapsulate what we're talking about through the through this vehicle is just, it's mind-blowing. So yeah, the invitation for everyone, pick whatever song you want. Allow yourself that to pause, notice, and then get curious. What a gift. I'm Sherry and Jackie, I don't know how to thank you enough. So let me just start with presencing my deep appreciation for the work that you do, for how you show up in this world, and for your mission. It has made a tremendous impact in my own life and in our business. And I'm honored to have spent this time with you today.
Oh, and the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And this has been a unique podcast, which has been delightful. Your questions are awesome.
Oh, yeah. Your questions just give us energy. You know, when I think of control, alt, delete, when I'm stuck on my computer, I just control, alt, delete all the time. But it's about rebooting leadership. So the work you're doing is amazing and your energy is just contagious.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you both. So we're going to let everybody know how to find you in the show notes. But if there's one place that you would like to refer people, where would that be? Because we'll put everything in everything. But for people that are getting ready to log off, I want them to go, wait, where am I going?
This is really easy.
Oh, yeah.
CWH.today. Now you can type out conversationsworthhaving.today and that will get you there. But CWH.today will get you there really quick.
I love it. And I've been there so many times. CWH.today, lots of free resources, lots of information. Everybody, please, I'm not kidding. Go get this and buy one for a friend. It's game changing. It's life changing. It's energy changing. And if you want to go from stuck to unstuck or burnt out to energized, Conversations Worth Having is my absolute recommendation. So thank you both so very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Keep gratitude. Yeah, make it a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durden. Head on over to wherever you find your other favorite podcasts and subscribe to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durden. Leave a review with some of that 5-star love. And let's keep it real. There's a reason why you're listening to this. If you don't get the support you need and start making changes in your life and work as a leader in tech, you can expect regret and burnout in the near future. Lisa and the team at RLD Group have been in your shoes, sat in those meetings, and experienced everything you can imagine as a leader in tech. They can help you get kick-ass results at work without burning out, so you can be present for the moments that matter to you and your loved ones. Take your first step by visiting rldgroupllc.com. RLD Group helps develop technical experts lacking people leadership skills, from being your company's biggest liability into their greatest asset. Find out more at rldgroupllc.com. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next time on Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durden, powered by RLD Group, as we help you reboot your leadership drive.